The Glue Guys is brought to you by Game Time, your new go-to app for the best deals on last-minute tickets. Did you know Nets ticket prices tend to drop right before the game starts? Game Time tracks prices in real time from thousands of trusted sellers, then shows you all the best last-minute deals with prices up to 60% off. More than 12 million fans have downloaded the Game Time app and discovered the fastest and easiest way to get into the game. The app is simple, quick, so easy to navigate. Just takes two taps to check out. So head to the App Store or Play Store now to download Game Time and score awesome deals on last-minute tickets. Welcome back to the Glue Guys. This is Mike Arcelo Brian.
Hello.
Check us out on Twitter at BK Glue Guys. iTunes, 5 stars. We need them. We want them. We have to have them. TheAthletic.com. Brian.
Michael.
I'm worried. The
no,
feeling,
you're not.
The emotion. I'm super duper worried. Are you not? No, you're not worried? I'm terrified.
I feel like you're welling up. Do you have a frog in your throat?
I'm absolutely I am going into a shell as we speak. I'm so scared about this Nets team. How are you?
I'm good. I'm not feeling that way, but if you actually do feel that way, we can talk about it.
Let's not. Now, let's talk about something else that makes me happy. So what we're going to do today is we're going to talk about the first week of the Nets season so far. And also, off the top, I wanted to solicit listener emails and voicemails, netspod@gmail.com, because next week we're going to do a big listener voicemail email pod. Is that right, Brian?
Let me ask you something. Are you using like a bag of Skittles as a stress ball or something right now? What is that crinkling noise?
I have a bag of Fisherman's Friend Extra Strong Lozenges. Could you have guessed that that would be my brand of lozenges?
That does feel like your brand. Yeah, just salt of the earth type. right? That's what they use them for. You want to get into it? Do you want to talk Knicks? We didn't even talk about the Knicks game.
I kind of want to just talk about heartening, disheartening type deal. Like, because this first week has been quite interesting for the Nets. From you have the high end of the spectrum of Kyrie Irving, could not have had a better debut with the Nets, and then like pretty much everyone else is bad at basketball. But Knicks game itself, now thank God they won that game, because if they didn't, they're 0-3 and they're being the first basketball team talked about on every ESPN talking show. what do you think of the Knicks game? What's your vibe?
I agree. I went on and looked at the Knicks posting and toasting, which I often do just to relish. And it is there's a big difference between being 1-2 and 0-3. The wheels have like properly fallen off already with that team. So if you don't beat that team, I mean, like they're like reporters are asking Dennis Smith Jr. like what's wrong with him, like right to his face and stuff. It's just really it gets toxic fast. So glad to not be existing in that kind of toxic environment. The on-court product in all three of these games have been like pretty similar. I think we can chalk some of it up to Chinese rust, like hashtag Chinese rust.
Chinese rust big time.
But like, so I mean, if we're just going right into like the sort of critical issues, is that what we want to do? Do we just want to start in and start
picking it apart? This isn't even, if you're a patient, you're not being screened a million times before we get into surgery. We're diving right. You come in with a boo-boo, we're ripping out that arm. That's what we're doing right now.
We're coming in for your heart. So I guess like for me, the one thing that's sticking out to my mind is we have, and this kind of happened last year too, in the beginning, a little bit of ball watching and a lot of it centered around your boy Caris LeVert. I am feeling a little bit like he's trying to ISO every time he touches the ball, instead of just going into like the sort of Joe Harris triple threat mode, which I think Caris is sort of better at doing. or at least like when he's, you know, sort of shaking off that Chinese rust when he can't really finish it the same way that he used to. I would prefer a little bit more of that sort of quick decision-making stuff than the lateral breakdown your defender stuff. And it seems like for Karras and to a lesser extent Spencer, we're doing a little bit of ISO-heavy stuff to start off this season. Like, and that's the only real pervasive concern, I guess I would say, that I have.
Wow. Okay, good for you for being so positive early on. Did I?
I mean, I'm not like generally that worried about it, because it's like shots aren't like really falling that much. We continue to like have a moments towards like, you know, the 4 minute mark at the end of the game where we're up by like 8 or 10 or something, and just forget that we have to close out games. That happens a lot.
Which I thought, so obviously again it's 3 games, so everything that could be said now could totally be like, don't listen to this podcast in a month. I'll probably delete it from our files just because I don't want it to really know what really comes out of it.
Smart.
But I thought going to this season, the big advantage that the Nets would have this team compared to the one from last year was that they would be able to close out games, because while we all love D'Angelo Russell, Kyrie Irving is better at basketball. I think definitively he's already proven that in front of Nets fans' eyes. And a big problem last year was that the team could never really like close out the game the right way. They would get the lead and they would give it back, and they didn't really have that true star who would, like, the what I saw from Jimmy Butler against the Nets last year, which was a guy who could just, you know, score 8 points in the final 2 minutes, completely take over the game and end the game right there. And I thought that they had that, and Kyrie certainly had the opportunity against Memphis last night, but it was shaky against the Knicks. They didn't fully pull it off against the Timberwolves, and it was disastrous against the Grizzlies, man. I'm totally with you with LeVert. I think he's really struggling to figure out how he's supposed to play with Kyrie, right? Like, because he isn't a good shooter, it makes it really tough for him to figure out, okay, if Kyrie has the ball in a pick and roll with Jared Allen or DeAndre Jordan, like, where is he going to be on the floor that makes the most sense? And that's going to take, you know, it's going to take at least a month of basketball potentially to like really figure out what Karis LeVert should be doing on the floor with Kyrie. And Karis LeVert's your second best player, so you kind of need him to know what he's going to be doing on the floor, particularly with your best player. I'm concerned, dude.
I'm not that concerned. I mean, like, I'm also like, there's a that whole dimension of LeVert's game that like he seems to not be going to, which is he at one point was like a pretty great playmaker and had like a nice little partnership there with LeVert with Jared Allen. And like right now he's just looking to establish himself as like a scoring ISO threat. And eventually he will be told not to do that as much. I would have to assume. And to be like looking to do the more natural things that he used to do. And also in general, there's not a ton of reason to pass it to Jared Allen at the moment.
No, man.
Which is he's having a hard start to the season too. Although I don't want to harp on it too much, because it's just like, it feels like just a miscommunication vibe thing. It feels like that pacing on every like pick and roll is just like a little bit too close or a little bit too far. And he's not getting the ball in the right spots. I'm just watching some of these clips now. Do you want to talk about Ja Morant and how he's actually really good? That dude is really good.
Like, yeah, I think, and that was what any like person who was like somewhat aware, like actually pretty, you'd be pretty deeply aware of college basketball to know Ja Morant. I mean, everyone knew him, but no one really watched him because he never was on television. But then he had that one game in the tournament that he was electric, and then everyone, you know, everyone who watches basketball like kind of clued in, like, oh yeah, this is what he can do. And he even made like a bunch of mistakes last night and still put up the night that he had and was like undeterred completely. And Memphis fans have to be, everyone wants Zion, but like if you get Morant and you probably have a healthier player over the course of his career, you're going to feel pretty good.
He's disgustingly fast. He's like the kind of guy, it's just like, it's a nightmare. Like, I did not feel at all confident guarding him with anybody at the end of that game. And was pretty sure he was going to like make them win the game. So yeah, and also, I mean, like, it felt like the first night that he had like his real breakout game, right? I mean, he only had like mediocre performances before, and just three games into the season now, I feel like he's gone first level Super Saiyan.
Yeah, and so my main overall concern, if I'm actually gonna, it's not really the offense, the thing that I'm gonna be most stressed about, and there's a lot of good, and we'll get to the good about this team, because you know, you can even just look at the stats offensively again, and you're gonna think, wow, this team does have a lot of potential, and they should have a lot of potential. But when you have out on the floor, like, Kyrie, who actually has been pretty good defensively, but he isn't typically that good defensively. Torian Prince, who the word is out for most of the rest of the league that he is not good at defense. You're playing him at the four and Kyrie at the one. And Jared Allen, who, you know, you've talked about his issues defensively, he can block a lot of shots, but he also, if he's actually guarding the person in front of him, it's not all that effective. He's more of a secondary help defender.
Mm-hmm.
This team defensively is just not good, and they weren't good last year, and they're not going to be really all that better this year because of who they have on the team. The people that they brought in really aren't defenders. My concern is that even though they're continuing to put up these crazy numbers offensively, they've been averaging 124 points a game, the defense is what's going to drag them down. You know, if you look at like the top contenders in the East, Milwaukee and the Sixers, both are good defensive teams. The Nets are bad at defense and very good at offense. And I think they probably can go a few other levels higher on offense because they're so disjointed. I'm just worried that what's going to change defensively that's going to make this team, I don't know. They're going to have a lot of games this season like Memphis where they're playing a team that's definitely worse than they are, but because they don't have a defensive presence, it's just going to bring the team down. And they're going to play at that level, and it's going to be very much, you know, it could change. They'll get better this season. The China rust, as we talked about, I am worried that the defense is going to make every game this season just sort of a toss-up for the most part.
It does make it hard to close out those games when you get to that 10-point lead in the fourth and you don't have anything to shore it up. Yeah. Do you want to talk about positive stuff?
Let's talk about positive stuff. Kyrie Irving, man.
Kyrie Irving is a positive thing, a source of positivity in my life.
Are you already worried that he's going to look at his guys and be like, these guys aren't good enough? Because that's what I think when I look at him.
You're going positive, damn it. What are you doing?
I already look at his face. I already see his face, and he's like, I thought this team was supposed to be better. No.
He's already laying the groundwork for, like, don't worry, Kevin Durant. You saw that thing where he's like, guys, we got Kevin Durant on the bench. Just chill.
Yeah, so. Well,
none of this matters.
Literally, so Kyrie was at some, if everyone didn't see this, it's on our Twitter account somewhere deep within the archives. I'll probably pull it up somewhere. But the basics of it was Kyrie was at this House of Kyrie event for, I guess, Nike. And he was talking about, you know, just like, hey, guys, we're going to try to take over New York, blah, blah, blah. And in a matter of months, he said, in months, we have a sleeping monster on our bench. Months, Brian.
Mm.
Confirmation that Kyrie Irving and that Kevin Durant is coming.
Anywhere from four to 14 18. Months. Yeah. Yeah. That's a spicy take, Mike.
Are there any other non-Kyrie standouts in your mind so far? I mean, I guess Torian Prince is good, like, offensively. And I think that that's important because they just gave him $15 million a year. And he really does matter because they don't have Damari Carroll this year, and they needed a guy who's that 3-4 type who can score the ball. But beyond that, I don't know. That's my issue. It's like we have this shining star of Kyrie, and I think the other things around him right now are not at the level that I would be excited
about. Are you worried that Caris LeVert doesn't have – is not going to reach that ceiling, that he's working hard, not smart, and eking out some decent stats because he's going so hard at him?
Ooh. I'm sorry. My ESPN browser just literally popped on some sound.
Oh, my gosh.
I think – so what's the Caris LeVert thing? What have we seen from him this season? It's that he ultimately can't shoot, though he's been pretty good. He's been averaging 20
points. He's hit some shots. I mean, he just wants it so bad. It's a matter of not letting the game come to him, Mike, is sort of how I feel. It's not in the natural flow of things.
So, like, I worry about this, but, like, it's sort of, I always kind of, I think I say this every pod, but, like, I want guys to get the run on the floor by themselves without Kyrie, because, you know, Kyrie should have the ball in his hands at every possession. I want him to shoot 50 times a game. He's incredible, amazing. He's the best offensive point guard in the NBA, unless you count James Harden as a point guard, which I guess you do. But it may be beginning to make more sense to play, I guess, Spencer more with Kyrie and put Karis more in, not put him on the bench, start Karis LeVert, take him out earlier in the first, and bring him in as that bridge star to finish out the first quarter, start the second quarter, and get him more of him, just him alone minutes, where he's the all-consuming force. But yeah, the other end of that token is that, like, he's not playing kind with Kyrie.
They've kind of been doing that, but they've been bringing on, like, not Spencer to do that with. Like, so they have been benching – or not benching, but, like, rotating him out, like, at that first time out in the first half – or in the first quarter. But then, like, they'll put in, like, Garrett Temple or someone. And it should be Spencer.
I'm already
Spencer should be playing a lot more minutes in general, I think.
Yeah, I think it, basically it should be Karis, Spencer, and Kyrie, who's just consuming all the minutes at guard. And – So if we broke it down, Garrett Temple versus David Nwaba, where are you? Where are you right now? I don't know where I'm at. Garrett Temple has been slightly disappointing, but it's three games, so I don't really want to go crazy with it. I just thought he'd be a better shooter.
Let's not get crazy. Your boy Captain Marvel is 33 in the Twitch chat, says, I would like you to dedicate 15 seconds of uninterrupted screaming over this loss to me. Mike, do you want to take care of that? Have you had enough fisherman's friends to to belt that?
It is so that so like this is the crappy thing. I was about to say the other word, but I'll say crappy. The crappy thing about that game is that if Jay Crowder doesn't hit that shot, then we all feel good. It's 2-1. They won a game on the road, even though it's a team that's supposed to not be good at basketball. Everyone's feeling okay. They beat the Knicks. That's the game that everyone cared about. The Timberwolves game was a terrible first half, a really productive second half. They blew the game at the end, but they've also missed a ton of free throws. They're bottom five in the NBA in free throw percentage so far this season, so they're bad at that right now. But like, so if that Crowder shot doesn't fall, everyone's just like, oh, they're 2-1. They're chugging along as they should. But because we have such a small sample size, they're 1-2. And now you're like, oh, crap. So they lost to the Timberwolves at home in the home opener. Oh, my God, they barely beat the Knicks, the woeful Knicks. And now they've lost to the Grizzlies. 1-2 feels closer to 0-3 than it does 2-1, 3-0. At least right now, the day after the loss. So, I mean, it's... It goes to me, it's going to go back to defense, and that's like not a super fun thing to talk about because it's harder to sort of dissect defensively and all that kind of stuff. And when we bring players onto the team, you think about Kyrie and you think about his offense, or Torian Prince, you think about his shooting, you think about offense first. But I do worry about this team defensively, and I think this is going to continue to be a problem area. Now, they have an interesting schedule coming up. They play the Pacers Wednesday night, so they have a nice little break here. That's at home, home for the Rockets. Then a back-to-back, they go to Detroit and play at Detroit. Those are not easy games. And Detroit, I don't know if they're going to have Blake back by then. I think they should, from what I understand. It's like you don't want to press the panic button, Brian, but there's... This is the type
of
thing.
You're pressing the panic button for a Blake Griffin return.
But you gotta have.
There's urgency.
Why do I have
fastest? You are the kind of, you should never be the president, Mike. You would reach for that panic button absolutely so quickly.
I should be the national security advisor. That's the safest position in politics. So you're not worried. I love it.
That worried. No, generally no. I mean, Chinese roast is real, Mike. I don't know if you know this.
It's extremely real. And you know what else is real, Brian? You ready for this?
Oh, boy.
Long day at work, tough day at school, still stuck at the office. Treat yourself to the meal you deserve and have your favorite restaurant come to you with DoorDash. DoorDash DoorDash connects you to your favorite restaurants in your city. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app, enter the promo code GLUE. That's $5 off your first order when you download the DoorDash app from the App Store and enter promo code GLUE. Don't forget, that's promo code GLUE for $5 off your first order from DoorDash. Brian.
Look at wow.
that. How good was that?
Nicely done, Mike. One take snake.
I actually honestly love that promo code. Makes me so happy that it's just GLUE. That yeah. They're so popular that they can stick with GLUE, and we're good with that.
Yeah. I mean, it's a philosophy. It's a way of life, just being gluey. That's what I'm trying to say.
Absolute glue.
That's what I'm trying to put out into the universe.
I could just talk about how great Kyrie Irving is, though, if you want.
I mean, if you don't want to go positive, I don't want to force you to. There's nothing worse than faux positivity.
So why are you – so, I mean, I'm not saying I'm like the season's over and they're not going to make the playoffs and all that stuff. Though I will say, and something we will be watching this year is how – the Warriors are doing, because the Nets have their first round pick. If it falls, you know, after the 20th pick or whatever, the Warriors are not looking that good. And that's who I'm actually more worried about, the Warriors.
Sure, boy, D'Angelo got sent packing.
I think he had like 10 points.
Six. He had six. Oh, bad. We dodged a bullet, Mike.
They're 0-2 right now. Yeah, actually. So we had Richard Jefferson on the pod, and you can still listen to that interview. That interview maintains its relevancy, and it will for a significant amount of time, because we actually didn't talk all that much about the Nets. But when we asked him about, you know, what's the difference between D'Angelo Russell and Kyrie Irving, he says it's not fair to compare the two. And we've talked about it. It's not necessarily fair to compare the two, but it's a natural thing for us, because that was the guy that we had, and now we have this new guy, and we're like, how are they different? They seem different. What are they doing? And Kyrie has just been like beyond belief in terms of above expectations, even better than I could have possibly imagined. He's so much more entertaining, so much more effective offensively. I feel quite confident when the ball's in his hand at the end of the game. He almost hit that shot against the Timberwolves where he fell down. I'm quite happy with the arrangement that we've gotten ourselves into at this point. I'm quite happy that, you know, I'm happy for D'Angelo Russell. He's on, you know, a good team, but I'm happy for us too.
we just got hosted by your boy Big Dong Tyrone. Quote of the day: remember that life's greatest lessons are usually learned from the worst times and from the worst mistakes. Have a great day, he says. Who is this angel? Who is this Twitch angel? Thanks, dude. Thanks for the shout out.
Thanks for popping in and talking to us. So one interesting change that happened in the Grizzlies game last night was that DeAndre Jordan started the game, though Jared Allen was in at the end to finish it. If we're doing the worry meter, my worry meter is quite high with how Jared Allen offensively has started the season. But I think what would be healthy is if this team continues to play with who's starting or who's playing with who, because I don't think there's that much of a drop off between the two. And I think it's almost better to use them as relief pitchers in circumstances, as opposed to saying like, this guy's our starter and is going to start all 82. It's better to sort of mix and match and kind of give teams different looks. And both are like not that productive, so almost doesn't really matter. But where are you right now in your power rankings of centers?
Well, I can actually appeal to your boy Sean Goodfriend, a good friend of the show.
Yes.
Says a quick thought about center. While Jared Allen was clearly better than DJ, maybe he should play more with the second unit to start the season. Until he builds more chemistry with Kyrie, he should play with Spencer. The Spencer Allen pick and roll was effective last night. This is probably talking about the Knicks game. Dinwiddie played really well with Allen last night, and it might help us win more in the short term. There does seem to be between Karis, Kyrie, and Spencer, and the two bigs, this like weird rock paper scissors, like trying to feel out whose vibe. Or I guess more interestingly, like, why is Jared Allen and DeAndre Jordan's like rolling patterns different, or why does it feel like they're like not connected in the way that they were last season? Does it feel different to you?
Why Jared Allen isn't...
Or, like, why does it feel like... I mean, like, so that's been getting better or whatever, and DeAndre Jordan, like, has finally been, like, hitting those lobs or whatever, and it's not the big problem that everyone thought it was in the first game of the season.
Right.
But I guess, like, why is it that I feel like Jared Allen continues to catch passes way behind him or way too low or is just sort of snatching at the ball, like, not in the usual flow of things?
Yeah, it's... He's always kind of had this problem. He can at times be like the perfect image of a pick and roll center, perfectly getting that pass and dunking it down immediately. He often, and I don't want to say this because he builds computers, but he thinks too much, it seems like. He's constantly sort of...
Haven't heard the builds computer line in a while. Good to bring that back.
You know, and like the thinks too much, like we attribute that to a person that typically is smart. Like we don't usually say a guy thinks too much when he's not intelligent, because typically when they're not intelligent, they don't really think. That's a generalization. I apologize to everyone out there who's a listener who's not intelligent. But
you know who you are.
All of you. Knicks fans. Anyways.
Shots fired.
I think it's harder for Jared Allen to be plug and play. And we keep joking about China Rust. I imagine the China situation did sap the Nets of practice time before the season. And I think specifically the relationship on a basketball court that needs the most practice and the most sort of learning how to do it together is the center with the point guard in a pick and roll offensive situation. Because it really, like, each guy is totally different. Each center decides how they're going to roll to the rim, where they present themselves, where they most like the ball. You know, as we're talking about DeAndre Jordan and Jared Allen, you would think in your head both guys like to dunk the ball and they're big and they're athletic. It should be similar, but they're both different players. And Jared does best when he's just like completely alone and can just dunk it down without even making a move. The minute he has to make a move, he starts thinking and then he starts sort of making these mistakes. And so far, because again, we talked about this last time, but like, D'Angelo pretty much never, when he went off a pick and roll, pretty much never went straight to the hoop. Unless it was like clearly open, right? He would always sort of stop short, try to get off a mid-range jumper, or then stop short and pass it down to Jared Allen. Well, Jared, now that space is being consumed by Kyrie because Kyrie does like to actually get to the hoop. So Jared needs to figure out, and Kyrie, when the moment that Jared actually should be the one going to the hoop and getting that dunk in, as opposed to Kyrie going in and trying to get a layup. You know, it's an incredibly important relationship that's going to take a lot of time and probably a lot of errors. I'm confident that Jared Allen can do it. It just is going to take time. And I think DeAndre Jordan, again, three games. I've been feeling better about what he showed. He looked bad against the Timberwolves, but he looked pretty good last night at various times against the Grizzlies. So. Let's let this keep going.
One last little bit. Your boy, Matthew Abramovitz. Beautiful. Thank you for hitting us up. And anyone can always reach us at netspod@gmail.com, of course. Basically talking about who gets more minutes, Torian Prince or Kurucs the four when it's all said and done. Yeah. A not often talked about battle for a position that neither of them are really perfectly suited for. At the four... Kurucs looked good in the Knicks game, shook off that rust, did not play much last night, or if he did not have too much impact on the game. Hard to say that like Kurucs is making this a tough battle at the moment. Like, I'm kind of interested to see how he's really just forked it over.
Yeah, Kurucs really, he was such the difference last year, and he just doesn't look like he's got his stuff together. Like, overall, like he doesn't seem like he knows where he fits offensively. Defensively, he's not really doing his regular sort of disruptive things that we all like to compare him to Andre Kirilenko about. It's three games, but he hasn't really looked good at all in the preseason and really so far this season. And he's kind of a crucial piece overall.
Yeah, it's weird. It's his whole game was sort of about that, like, ballsiness of just, like, you know, stabbing at everything and doing odd, unpredictable things in general. And now it's like confidence is suddenly an issue for him or something. Or like, you know, Richard Jefferson was talking about how he was like hesitating to take threes that normally he would just completely let fly last year. I'm wondering if just like the expectations of actually being good this year are fucking with him a little bit, or I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the classic sophomore slump, right? Like, it's just that last year no one had any clue who he was. Probably most players in the league could never even pronounce his name. And now he's suddenly – he's a guy that's at least known. And now it's like, okay, well, you do these three things against him. He's not going to really do anything offensively. He's not, like, that great of a shooter. He's not, you know, all that – dynamic of like a big man to get to the hoop by himself. He's a nice bit player, so there's like things I want to see. Like, I would like to see a Karuk's game pretty soon. Like, I would like to see a 15 point outing to know that, like, okay, he's got that energy, and if he scores that amount of points, they're probably going to win the game because he's one of those swing players on the roster. I would really love a 20 and 10 game from Jared Allen. Like, we need, like, almost more than anything, we do need Jared Allen to be not 20 and 10 because that's a really great season, but to have games like that, because right now so much pressure is on Kyrie, Karis, and Dinwiddie to score all the points. Joe Harris can continue to do what he does. They still need that, like, they need like that random game from a bunch of different players every now and again.
Or even like a Whiteside style, like 19 rebounds and 10 points or something, you know, like a stupid large one of those two things,
yes.
You know?
Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
Do you want to talk a little bit about how I was the only person that was correct in the world about the fact that the Golden State Warriors aren't going to be good? just like pivot directly into other NBA things. I mean,
you and Charles Barkley. Did you see what Barkley said to Klay
Thompson? No, what did he say?
So Klay Thompson, I think the Chase Center, the new Warriors arena opened, and the TNT crew was there, and they had Klay Thompson on the dais as they're talking about the Warriors. This is on TV. And Charles basically said something like, I like you, but the Warriors aren't going to make the playoffs this year. And his reasoning was that if you just look at the roster and you look at where the points are going to come from, Steph basically has to score 50 points a game because Draymond's going to give you 10, D'Angelo's going to give you 20, and no one else on the team can give you a decent night.
Give you more than 8.
And that's pretty much right. It's, again, 2 games, but pretty much they've looked really bad.
The lack of depth is not just like offensively sapping or whatever, but like that means that the defenses can just like narrow in on Steph Curry. Like, they can triple team him and it doesn't matter anymore.
Right.
Like, there's not gonna be a problem with that.
You know, again, I'm still like buying into the culture and that the team, you still have Steph Curry, which should matter a lot, and that the team is going to figure it out. But you look at the West and you just see the number of teams. The fact that, like, I know the Timberwolves are like 3-0 already. The Spurs are 2-0. The Nuggets, of course, are good. The Phoenix Suns are even 2-1. Like, you just look at the number of teams, and that's what kind of worries me about the Nets is, you know, the standings don't matter, but you look at what teams are doing poorly early on, and you look at the teams that are doing well early on, and you're like, that's about the names that we expected to see. Now, the teams in the East that's doing well, like the Magic are 1-1, and the Cavs are 1-1. The Cavs are awful. So I'm not really all that worried that the Cavs are going to take the Nets spot in the playoffs. I'm not there, I know, but I'm just worried.
Not far from
it. I don't know why I'm so worried. It's just maybe because my expectation was close to 50 wins, and I think
it's in your nature. You had a traumatic childhood, and now you wear diapers in adulthood.
That would be fantastic.
Yeah. Do you ever think about that astronaut woman who drove like 40 hours straight and wore a diaper?
Remember that story?
I think about that all the time.
Yeah, that's a smart thought.
Yeah, just outside the box thinking, you know.
Is there anything else we want to hit before we say thank you to basketball and we'll be at people's ears later this week?
I have nothing more I want to say to you people.
Perfect. I mean, again, it's like, this is early on, but the things I'm excited about is that Kyrie Irving looks awesome. Taurean Prince looks like a basketball player. And the things I'm super worried about is that I'm not sure Caris LeVert's like the best shooter in the world, but he's better. It's fine. And the centers are bad at basketball.
Are we asking Caris to do too much, Mike? That's the question I want you to have in the forefront of your mind for the next couple of games, okay?
I'll text Kenny and ask him.
Yeah.
Thank you all for listening. This was a great show. Brian, you're
a great show. A capital G great show.
You're a mensch among men.
Thank you. And thanks for having me on, Mike.
Thank you.
Okay, bye everybody.
Yeah, boy.